Okay.
I'm speaking today with Marianne Perez, who is running for the Democratic nomination for House District 144. Marianne, why are you running for this office?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. First, after the last legislative session, I was not happy with the outcomes and the direction in which the state was headed. So as a public servant, I decided to run for the position and do my best to make a difference for the constituents of House District 144. Secondly, my neighbors and I were perfectly happy with State Representative Carol Alvarado as our representative, but with the redistricting process and the new maps taking Precinct 221 out of Representative Alvarado's district, I've been highly encouraged by many of the constituents to run for the position. And third, as the chairman of the board for Houston Community College, I have felt firsthand the repercussions to the budget cuts on education. And at the same time, by becoming a member of the House, I will not only continue to help Houston Community College, but colleges all across the great state of Texas.
Okay. Now, as you said, you are the chair of the board now of the Houston Community College system. You were first elected in 2009. Talk to me a little bit about what you've done as an HCC trustee.
As an HCC trustee, my first year, I chaired the Board Governance Committee. And as a chair of the committee, I rewrote the bylaws and set rules for trustees, such as how much a trustee can spend on meals while traveling on HCC business. I think those rules may have been understood, but never put in writing as policy, and they are now policy. My first year, I also partnered with Metro and the elected officials and held my first annual job fair, which was very successful. I also created, along with Trustee Eva Laredo, the Hispanic Scholarship Council, which raises money for Hispanic students to attend Houston Community College. In my second year, I was elected as the vice chairman of the board. I held my second annual job fair. The Hispanic Scholarship Council raised $52,000 for scholarships, and I partnered with HEB and the elected officials and held my first annual free flu shots for the community. I am now beginning my third year and have been elected the chairman of the board, and it's been about 10 weeks now.
Okay. And now, since you talked about the effects of the budget on HCC, what have those effects been? How has this affected Houston Community College and its students? And I know it's not just this one legislative session. The trend in Texas recently has been to put less money into public higher education, let them set their own tuition. But how did these budget cuts specifically affect HCC?
Well, thank goodness that HCC was in pretty good financial shape prior to this last legislative session's budget cuts. We were able to make ends meet without cutting jobs or furloughing. But it has definitely been tough. It's probably been especially tough for the employees having to do more with less. I think for the first time in 6 years, we had to put the tax rate back to where it was a couple of years ago. We've had a hiring freeze. We've not replaced any of the people who are retiring. We were unable to give raises to our part-time or full-time faculty. We had to close a couple of buildings over the summer just to keep costs down, and we had to consolidate some classes. To give you an example on that, if we had a class that was taught in three places, such as the Southeast Campus, the Central Campus, and A-Leaf Campus, we pretty much only had it at the Central Campus. So we felt a lot by having these budget cuts.
And what sorts of legislation or policies would you pursue as a legislator, based on your experience as a community college trustee? What sorts of things would you pursue, would you want to do to try and make things better for community colleges and their students?
I think the most important would be to fund education. To me, I think that education pretty much makes the world go round. I think it keeps the crime rate down. I think that with an educated workforce, you have a stronger city, a stronger county, a stronger state. And so I think the most important would be education. I'd like to tap into that rainy day fund, because if it's not raining in Texas now, I'd hate to see what the stormy weather would look like.
And what opportunities do you see to, you know, find more revenue for public education and higher education in Texas? I mean, obviously the last session was all about making cuts. You know, what opportunities do you see for finding revenue to undo those cuts?
Well, I think the rainy day fund, if a $4 billion shortfall to an already tight education budget doesn't constitute a rainy day, I don't know what does. But maybe reevaluate the margins tax. We need to make sure that corporations are paying their fair share to fund education.
Okay. What role do you see community colleges playing kind of in the whole educational ecosystem? I mean, we know what, you know, there's a lot of emphasis these days on four-year universities, on getting kids to go to and graduate from four-year universities, and there's Governor Perry's $10,000 degree idea. You know, high schools, middle schools these days are geared towards getting people into the four-year universities. Where do community colleges fit these days? What are they, you know, what are they providing for Texas?
Actually, I think that community colleges are very, very important in the state. Not only do we prepare students for to go on to four-year universities, but we also do job training. And, you know, it's not like it was when we were in high school where we had wood shop and metal shop and auto mechanics. These days there are no job training. There is no job training in the high school level. And so the community colleges are the only ones who do that workforce training. And I think everybody will agree that not every student is four-year college material, but yet they will have to sustain themselves and hopefully a family at some point. So I think that the job training, workforce training is really important, and somebody has to do that job if we want to sustain the economic growth in the city and the county and the state. We need to have those trained students for the jobs that are available. If not, they will get the workers from Dallas or from, you know, some other state and bring them in to do what rightfully should be our jobs.
And now, do you think some of that, you know, vocational training belongs back in the high schools? I mean, as you say, it used to be that way, and there is sort of a backlash against the whole standardized test and college readiness program for Texas public schools. You know, a lot of people are talking about, well, as you say, some kids just want job training and, you know, to go to work and not go to a four-year university. How much of that belongs back in the public schools and not necessarily, you know, after high school?
I do think that some of that workforce training does belong in the high schools because, as we're all aware, not every student goes to school after graduation. Not everyone goes to college, so I would prefer that they have some type of job training than no job training, just to kind of pretty much help our economy and help them be able to sustain themselves.
Okay. Let's shift to issues of health care. As you know, there's been a big controversy in Texas lately over the women's health program that has been defunded. Conflict between the state and the federal government. What's your view of all this?
With respect to women's health care, I was sadly disappointed with the outcome of the last legislative session. I wish that more people had a better understanding of what all Planned Parenthood does for our communities. I think it's a shame that when people hear the words Planned Parenthood, they automatically think abortion. And only about 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion, and 97% is preventative health care. I don't think the government has the right to dictate what a woman may or may not do with their bodies. It's a woman's right to choose. And with respect to preventive care, it's more cost-effective to be proactive than reactive. The state will ultimately spend more finances on health care in the future. If they continue to cut preventative health care now, they will just pay for it double at the end.
Okay. You know, a lot of legislation that passes through the House and Senate is stuff that's, you know, relating to local issues. Cities, management districts, TERSs, MUDs, whatnot. Are there any, you know, pieces of legislation that you think you would pursue that's, you know, particular to, you know, your district and, you know, unique to your district? Go.
Probably education, because I believe that education holds the key to the future of the city, the county, and the state. Without an educated population, who's going to run the city, the county, and the state? Who's going to train our students for the jobs of tomorrow? How will our future sustain themselves and a family? What will the crime rate be? So everything, I think, is tied pretty much to education. I don't think we can afford to continue on the path that Texas is in today. So that's one of that's the biggest legislation that I'll pursue once I'm in the House.
District 144, obviously you were directly affected by redistricting, as you said, with your precinct moving from one district to another. District 144 was one of the focal points through the redistricting process. And part of the and through the litigation that has been ongoing. What we have now is an interim map for 2012, but there's likely to be changes down the line. Are you happy with the way District 144 turned out? What do you think about the map the legislative map in general? And what, if any, changes would you like to see made to 144 as the litigation resolves?
Well, you're absolutely correct. The map for House District 144 has certainly seen a lot of changes. But I think at the end of the day, we're all people. The current map includes Houston, South Houston, Pasadena, and Baytown. And I don't really believe that the constituents of the Southeast Harris County differ much. I believe and would hope that when the final map is all said and done, it will reflect the growth and the demographics of its communities. After all, that's what the census and the redistricting are supposed to do.
Okay. And you have two opponents for this nomination. So when we go to vote in May, why should people vote to make you the nominee, the Democratic nominee for District 144, and not one of your opponents?
Well, I believe I have the life experiences that it takes to lead the district forward in the legislature for several reasons. I've already raised my children in the public K-12 school system, who are now in college and in the workforce. I put myself through college while working full-time and a single parent, and I'm the first college graduate in my family in four generations, and I graduated cum laude. I've been a homeowner for the past 26 years and understand what that's about. I've been a small business owner for over 8 years and understand the struggles that small business owners have. And as a current elected official, I'm responsible right now for 75,000 students, 6,000 employees, and budget and annual operating of $260 million. So I do believe I've got the most experience to win the Democratic nomination for House District 144.
Okay. Marion Perez, thank you very much for talking to me today.